What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. New quick and dirty little intro. Changing it up a little bit.
New year.
Welcome, adventurers. Welcome back. We're freshening up the intro for a new year. I'm Tom. This is Lotus. We are we should have a title. Like what do you name the people who like take you through the museum to see all the exhibits? Like
curators? That's
like, we're the curators of your lore experience.
Curators of knowledge.
Yeah, there you go. This is the lore museum, and here we are. Wait, this is weird. I've been doing an entire week full of patron episodes with lots of guests and stuff like that. Now it's just back to you and me, and we're back to talking about all the different Daedra. We're up to the S's.
Yeah, for anybody who doesn't remember, because we had the reveal, we had the patron chest. We were trying to finish the Daedric Bestiary, and we're at the S's, so like we're getting there.
Yeah, we're still at least three episodes out from finishing these, by the way. There's still a number to get to, and we've been doing roughly four an episode. But here we're back. We're talking about scamps and other weird stuff, scorions and seekers and scoffin, which sounds like
all about the seekers.
Terrible ska band name.
Terrible ska band for Clavicus Vile.
Oh man, Clavicus Vile would totally be in a band, and
actually,
it would totally
Clavicus
be a ska
Vile
band.
Clavicus Vile and scoffin. There you go. There's your ska band.
Oh my god. Now I've got a new side project.
Clavicus Vile and the ska.
Right, we have to find somebody who looks a little bit like Clavicus Vile to be like the lead singer.
Yeah, and the first album does need to be called The Fields of Regret.
The Fields of Regret. It's like a really dark ska band. Oh man! All right, we're already off to like we're completely off the notes here. But welcome back. We're glad that you're here. Here, it's, I almost called you in ska name for some reason. Lotus Scottis.
Perfect.
Lotus. Let's talk about scamps.
Let's talk about scamps because they're. Scamps have been around for a while, and they're really weird.
Yeah, I feel like these have come up a few times as we've been like referencing how they're similar or different to other Daedra, and now we actually get to tackle them.
Yeah, I'll have you dive into like the exact details for that stuff before we get into like some of the stranger stuff, but they've kind of had a similar tone to them most of the time. But the only thing about scamps, which is just kind of weird before we dive fully into it, is they're varying degrees of weird.
They're weird, and at certain points
in the series, they're really weird.
Yeah, like look at Rashaal Tamir, chief of the scamps from Battlespire. That's a weird design.
That is one of the most cringy things I've actually found from this series. And it just... didn't like any part of that. Her voice is... To say nails on chalkboard is an understatement to her giving you directions the game.
So I'm sure our listeners... We're live. We do this. We stream it live.
Sure.
We put the videos up. But if you're listening on audio, which is most of the people who check
like
out the show,
90-something% of the audience,
the vast majority of you, you know what scamps are. If you played any of the games, you understand they're the kind of the little guys. They got big heads. They got long arms. They got pointy ears. They got big, pointy, sharp teeth. Here, we'll start over.
We'll get into the weird bits in a minute.
We'll get into the weird bits. But I just was pulling up on screen images, and that one is particularly weird because it looks like a little female child or something like this. Let's see. We're going to the UESP as we normally do. Going to the UESP. I need a button for that. Here's what it says on the UESP, because this is our starting point. This is the best wiki for Elder Scrolls on the internet, and they're friends of the show. So, wonderful starting point, and then we'll go from there. Scamps are one of the lesser sentient Daedra of Oblivion, who often enter the mortal world to cause mischief and carry out errands for their princes. They are weak, rather dull, described as semi-intelligent and cowardly, and are easily defeated except in large numbers. For the greater Daedra, scamps are useful minions, as their nimble hands can carry and manipulate objects. And They are just tricky enough to be cunning opponents in combat. They are most commonly associated with Mehrunes Dagon, though they also serve Moleg Bal, Sheogorath, and Sanguine. Many varieties of scamps exist, including the weaker stunted scamps and fiery magma scamps of Mehrunes Dagon. The Stonefire, Mind Shriven, Trove, and Cunning Scamps of Moleg Bal, and familiar summoned by mortals. These are often summoned by sorcerers and people like that to kind of do their bidding for them. The Undaunted also trained scamps to wear packs to carry their valuables, which is super cool. And then off you use some of their ingredients, like their skin in magical potions and things like that.
Delicious.
Yes. And as Lotus noted, these have been in the series for a very long time. They're in pretty much every major game in the series.
They've been around for quite some time in some degree.
Yeah.
They're a longstanding staple enemy of the, you know, Daedra in the series. And their iterations, they actually have a much more consistent look than a lot of the other things. Personally, if you go to the UESP and look up the scamp from Oblivion Mobile, that one's one of my favorites because it's ridiculous. He's got his little animation. There you go for anybody watching the video.
Pounded
his fists. He's real mad.
He's dancing. He's just a mad dancer. He's skanking. Yeah. He's skanking because this is the ska-focused episode. Yes. but if we go back, we can see that they started with Battle Spire, and we've got them in pretty much everything since then.
They also spoke quite a bit in Battle Spire, actually, which was kind of weird. They were very chatty. They were one of the easier enemies, even if you didn't have like a high linguistic skill. They were pretty prone to talking to you. Their voice was really, really exaggerated, like kind of super high pitched and nasally,
kind of like Toad from Mario.
Yes, from that, especially from like that Mario TV show.
Yeah, where he's like
cartoon.
That is
absolutely.
I'm sorry, I just blew out everybody's ear. I'm so sorry.
The audience is now deaf. so yeah, those little things. They were very chatty, and the other thing which I have, you know, if I leave any contribution to the Elder Scrolls fandom, I would be happy to have it be this. But in Battle Spire, there is a, for whatever reason, there is a really durable scamp with pretty much no explanation. It just shows up. And scamps aren't super, they mentioned they're kind of runty little enemies.
They're little fodder enemies that you should be able to kill them pretty quickly or as a low level.
For whatever reason, this one scamp that shows up in the game has 10,000 hit points as a gauge. Most scamps in the game have like 90. In fact, the Daedra Lords, I believe, have like 300 in that game.
So it's the god of the scamps.
It is lit. So on stream, I decided to try to, I couldn't use weapons in my playthrough of the game, so I tried to punch it to death, which I think took around 45 minutes. And we named him Ever Scamp McLustthirst because other than relentlessly following you around the game when you find him, if you try to interact with him, it does not go into the dialogue like cinematic that you get in Battle Spire quite a bit, which is an interesting feature. It just puts these really creepy comments at the top of the screen. One of which I remember being, it stares lustfully at my thighs. And I'm like, that's about as Battle Spire as it gets, to begin with, for anybody unacquainted with Battle Spire. And, I'm pleased to know that I have seen in unrelated threads on Reddit and stuff, people have literally kept the name Ever Scamp McLustthirst.
That's amazing.
It's canon.
That's amazing.
So I like to think of him as canon.
Zoss, we need this scamp back.
Bring it back
for ESO.
Raid boss.
Bring this back as a raid boss, like some giant scamp that has been summoned out of Oblivion. That's been like, and he's just like super thirsty.
Why have you come to my realm? Oh, do you want some of this?
And you're like, no, die now.
Pours you a glass of like Sujama.
Come to my bedroom.
Light some candles.
Like, no.
So yeah, in general, they all sort of have a similar vibe, except as you kind of alluded to earlier, with what's her name exactly? Rishal?
Yeah, Rishal Tamir here.
Yeah, Rishal Tamir.
Back on the screen.
Chief of the Scamps.
Chief of the Scamps in Battlespire. Looks
yes, again,
like
from Battlespire.
A little kid wearing a loincloth.
Yeah.
Like a,
that was, yeah. I always tell people, be forewarned with Battlespire. Battlespire has a lot of cool lore that was contributed to the series. It also has some really, really 90s cringe.
Yes.
And yeah. Rishal is just levels of uncomfortable. Like, it's just like the little leopard, like, loincloth thing. And I'm like, what is going on? Her voice is obnoxious. It's just, it's awful. Like, the whole thing where she's giving you the quest, I was like, no, I don't like any of this. It's just, yeah. This is too 90s cringe for me. I don't like where any of this is going. So,
right.
Yeah. She's the most varied of the scamps, I guess you would call her. Because technically, yeah. I guess she would classify as a scamp. I remember her name in game. It was like, huh.
Chief of the Scamps. So maybe she's another race that looks, I mean, she looks humanoid. She looks
right.
Like either a human or an elf or something like that. But she's got kind of this golden colored skin. But for the most part, scamps look like these little monster guys, and I've got them up on the screen again. They look, they've got long ears, they've got like their legs are kind of bent and bowed, they've got long arms, they've got, you know, sharp teeth like I explained before, sometimes they have horns on their head, and for the most part, I mean, Battlespire, they looked a little lankier and taller.
They were a little lankier. Yeah,
they got a little shorter.
Pointier.
Yeah, Oblivion still looks kind of the same. Legends and ESO, they all look kind of similar. And then, of course, there's the concept art, the Battlespire concept art. If you look at the concept art from Battlespire, it looks, I mean, that could be concept art for ESO. It looks very similar to the way they look still. Oblivion concept art, same, very, very similar. The whole kind of bent back legs, they look like little gremlins. And I guess the one major difference is that they talked in the earlier games and they no longer really talk. They kind of lost that ability to
shriek or make weird sounds.
Yeah.
Which they did originally, but it was also them kind of being able to talk. And I guess since we don't have, before we like move on to the next one, one thing that's like, we don't really have a like Daedric artifacts for these things the way we do when dealing with princes and stuff. But I would be remiss to not point out the Staff of Everscamp from Oblivion, The Elder Scrolls IV, which is one of the most hilarious weapons in the series. It is just a staff that when you pick it up, it summons hostile scamps. It's a Shia Gorath inspired artifact. Spoilers.
Yeah.
And when you pick it up, it spawns hostile scamps that just mess it up, because like if you try to do quests, they'll just attack your quest giver and they're just running amok and being a pain in the ass.
It's pretty great.
And then
it's pretty great.
It's fused to your inventory. You can't put it down.
Yeah. It's good. But we definitely need more items like that in future.
It's just such a funny troll weapon.
Yeah. Also, I mentioned the Undaunted use scamps to carry things for them. They've got little backpacks just like this little guy right here. Look at that. Look at that cute little guy. He's got a little leather backpack on.
So festive.
It's like he's going to his first day of kindergarten.
It's funny. Is that the guy? I think that's the one in ESO. If you own him, you get 5 inventory slots.
Oh, yeah.
He literally holds 5 backpack things.
Yeah, that might be him. Undaunted Porter Scamp. Yeah.
Perfect.
So there you go. So that's scamps. Everybody loves them. They're like little gremlins, and they're wonderful. Lots of different looks and colorings and all sorts of things. All right, let's move on to their second one, the Scorion. Scorion, you're probably like, what's a Scorion? This is one of those lesser known creatures. Scorions are large, Deadlands touched, arachnid-like Daedra whose purpose seems to be collecting and transferring magical energy. Words are hard today, guys.
Words are hard.
They are rarely seen and were once used by the Order of the Waking Flame to collect residual torture energy for the construction of the antecedent catalyst in the Dread Cellar. Scorions that get swept away during eruptions are sometimes crushed into rugged gems known as Scorion diamonds by the intense crucible of stone and flame. Sometimes you can find diamonds that are just made out of spider looking Daedra.
Squished up Scorion.
Yeah, that's super weird. Here's an image.
So these
of
things
one.
Are new to Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah.
They're pretty decent enemy type. And the thing about them is they've kind of come back in a couple scenarios, but their original incarnation, the idea that it's kind of been alluded to that there's like, it's more effective to have a soul gem, like a black soul gem, get filled if the dude's, if like your target is also like freaking out at the same time. It's like, ooh, it makes it more effective.
Oh yeah. Torture them, make them feel terrible. And so it becomes like more effective.
The
yeah.
idea that there's torture energy that they're just like, yeah, that's right. Like that's what Dagon needs, more of this.
I mean, if anybody wants torture and energy,
I mean, for sure. Or Ball.
Either yeah, of them. Both of them probably enjoy that.
But yeah, and I guess it's weird. I didn't think about this at the time, but yeah, we're sticking with the Battle Spire theme because the Dread Cellar, which was the first dungeon that they're kind of like showed up in, was had some pretty strong ties to the Battle Spire, which is weird because it's one of the few references to that outside Battle Spire itself. The series kind of likes to pretend Battle Spire isn't there a lot.
Yeah, those older games, they come up on occasion. And this is one of the things that ESO does well, where yes, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they'll have like new year of content, a new dungeon or whatever. And there will be some little corner of that that's just a callback to something really old.
Yeah, and the amount of, I mean, this year with the Order of the Lamp. It looks like the Knights of the Lamp are going to be a thing. And it's like, well, those haven't been around since literally when we saw a reference to them in Daggerfall. But yeah, like that's, what do you call it? So that's, you know, that's interesting. I love when the series kind of makes these like deep cuts. They have a lot to Arena. Most people don't even realize that the collectibles to kick off the Elsewhere year were basically Arena collected. Like it was, the Arena collectibles that went to the Halls of Colossus. It's like, this is like deja vu.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's cool. I mean, there's a lot of debate out there by the gatekeepers of the series that like, you know, ESO is not the real lore, but they do a really good job of pulling in old concepts from these other games and then giving them a new life or making them make more sense in the timeline and in the world than they originally did. Because if you're going to gatekeep, then you got to keep all the weirdness. Like you got to fall on one side of the line, right? Either all of the old games are canon the way they are and ESO isn't, or ESO is canon and the canon continues to evolve over time. You kind of pick one of those two sides, right? So if you pick the first one, then that means any of the weird stuff from Battle Spire or Arena or, you know, any of those early games, even the weird side games, like that stuff just has to stay weird and will never get explained. And even if it doesn't fit into the lore of the later games like Oblivion or Skyrim or Morrowind, then it's, well, too bad. It's just what it is. It's just weird forever. Like,
yeah,
that doesn't work. And the fact that the team at ESO who work on ESO have been trying to work some of these other concepts and creatures and ideas into a more updated version so that they actually do work with the rest of the series is really cool. And to skip over that is to really miss out on stuff.
I like that ESO does a pretty good job of making sure that some of the more abstract stuff is kind of like refurbished into the series again, even if they just show like something new to the series or a new take on something. Like we had Gideon, which we hadn't seen since Arena. It was just kind of like pixelated generic whatever before and stuff like that. What do you call it? But yeah, it's like one of those things where it's just like it's good when they kind of at least give a nod to stuff back in the series.
Yeah, it is very cool. So other than these details, there's really not a whole lot else to say about these. They're big spider looking bug Daedra, and you can squish them into diamonds, I suppose, if they get stuck underneath the ground.
Apparently they condense down into diamonds quite well.
Yeah, pretty weird. So, all right, those are our first two. We've got two more to do, but first we got to go thank our patrons, so don't go anywhere. It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, This is a place that has high quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our patrons, including our two newest patrons, Timmy B and Nick B. Different last names, but same first letter. Thank you for signing up. I'm so glad that you're here. I hope you are enjoying your ad-free episodes or getting them early or any of the other things that you can get, stickers and t-shirts and joining us on Patreon chats, all of that stuff at patreon.com/elderscrolleslorecast. Go check it out. There might be something you like. Also, you can sign up as a free member. You don't get anything, but you can stay kind of connected on Patreon. With that, it's a new feature that they've been rolling out over the last few months. Also, we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, Belli Paratus, Kirasi, and Sheogorath Sweetroll. Thank you so much for your support as well. And to all 114 of our current patrons, we couldn't do this without you. So thank you for being here. Also, Lotus, we got a new review. Just a reminder, if you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it out on a future episode of the show. This one comes from America's Hat from Canada. From Dragonsbane 738, who writes, amazing lore. Tom and Lotus do such a good job at explaining the weird and wacky of Elder Scrolls, and I just want to personally thank both of them for helping me with early morning shifts at work. Also, why not Hermamora?
Nice.
I mean, why not, right? Why not Hermamora? But thank you for taking
thank
the time
for that. That was so nice.
Yeah. Say nice things and leave a review. We really do appreciate it. And also, if you want to rate us on Spotify or whatever other platform you're listening to us on, or share us with your friends. If you're getting back into playing Elder Scrolls, whether it's updates to Skyrim or ESO, and you're playing with other people, and you want to share the lore with them, pitch them the podcast. They might enjoy it, and we would appreciate it. So thank you to everyone who supports the show. We really do appreciate it. All right, let's move on. We've got two more Daedra to talk about.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, we're back, and we are talking about Seekers. Lotus, I know you're excited about this one.
I love Seekers. They're so weird.
They are so weird.
They're so weird.
I mean,
their concept art is exceptionally weird.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have to show that on screen. By the way, just a reminder again, if you really want to see all these pictures and us and our beautiful faces, then we have a YouTube channel that you can check this stuff on as well. Lotus, should I read it out? And then I know you've got all sorts of thoughts on this one.
Yeah. I was gonna say I'll gush over these things a little bit here. That's actually a bad adjective for these things.
Just the black inky stuff.
I ruined everything. It's fine.
Gushing it out. All right. Seekers are grotesque tentacle Daedra. They are servants of Hermaeus Mora. Why not Hermaeus Mora? Usually guarding tomes of forbidden knowledge, and are masters of illusion, who use invisibility and decoy mirror images as distractions while they sap their target's strength, feeding off the ghosts of those seeking knowledge. Seekers have the power to banish prey with sound attacks. They are rarely seen outside of Apocrypha. They have the ability to drain their prey's energy, vitality, and magicka, as well as the knowledge from unfortunate mortals who cross its path. While they appear bestial and imposing, they are not unintelligent. A journal of Morian Zenus about Apocrypha notes that Seekers would converse with other Daedra in the realm, doing so with a lisp and usually talking about the mage himself and Mora's intentions. They keep a variety of books, spellbooks, and scrolls with them. More powerful seekers are called aspirants or high seekers. They actually have different status levels. Like, and that's not uncommon among different Daedra, especially the more intelligent ones, to have different rankings and things like that. Here, I'm going to put some pictures up on the screen while you chime in with some of your gushing.
They're just like, they are, ooh, what have I done? Yeah, in general, it's just like, I think their design is really unsettling. Like, they're really, again, it sticks with the Mora motif that they got going on. They're very tentacly, but like, they don't so much wear armor as it looks like tattered robes and stuff like that. And they're just like these hunched over like little monstrosities. So they hover, like they don't walk. They don't even really have legs.
They just kind of float around,
hovering, collecting books. I always like thought it was kind of funny. They're like just really sketchy librarians.
Really sketchy. Okay. All right. I mean, they're the hot librarians, kind of a motif or whatever, right? You know, like, yeah, oh, that lady who them. Looks
these
a little nerdy. She's got the glasses and the sweater,
yeah,
but
these ones ain't them.
She's actually really cute. Not
they have
this.
A reasonable amount of eyes for being a Hermaeus Morris realm.
Yeah. Also here, check this out. I mean, they've got the tentacles. They've got like this whole Eldritch God kind of thing going on. But in some of the concept art, they also have a hole in their stomach with
some
little
people
teeth.
Are pointing out the fact that they kind of have like a, the Pit of Sarlacc?
Is
that
the Sarlacc pit from Star Wars? Yeah, they've kind of got that going on.
Yeah,
kind of
like right in the middle.
Yeah, there's another one on this ESO picture. They have to do with Apocrypha, so we don't get them much in the other games outside of Skyrim.
No, they're pretty uncommon. In fact, they just kind of like unsettlingly float around a decent amount before, but when it came to ESO, you saw them in a lot more different situations, kind of like referring to the hierarchy. Some of them are like so big, they're borderline like guardians of like sections of the library. Like, they're friggin' enormous. Whatever I don't know off the top of my head, remember the world boss one that splits into multiple forms and then like throws book whirlwinds at you and stuff. That thing's huge. It's like the side. It's like the size of a house. So
even just questing through the Necrom stuff when you're in Apocrypha and you're going through some of the different little labyrinthine kind of dungeon parts of the main storyline, you come across them as enemies. And if you don't kill them quickly, they kind of multiply, or they cast these illusions where it's like all of a sudden there's three of them and you're like, oh, crap, now there's three. And then you kill the main one and the others disappear.
Yeah.
So they are kind of tricky like that. Yeah, yeah. These guys, they're grotesque and they're terrifying in just the right ways.
I think those are they kind of match the whole setting really well. I always thought, like, even just with Dragonborn back to Skyrim, like having them just kind of like floating around, like rummaging through books and stuff like that, looking for more stuff. They're very, very unsettling. And I think they add a great creep factor to Apocrypha.
Yeah. So I'm going to pitch a fun idea for you. We know that mortals who end up in Apocrypha can go insane. We know that they can lose their minds. And these have a semi-humanoid kind of shape. What if the bodies of the people were repurposed and grow tentacles and then are inhabited by some sort of Daedric spirit that then become these things?
I could see that, especially after we got the information on like the Hushed that came out with Necrom, where they kind of were so enamored by obsession with searching for stuff, they kind of like lost themselves and they just became like these hollowed out little husks. And then you also have the situation of people literally going insane amongst the stacks of Apocrypha.
Right.
It makes me think, like, some of those, like, okay, is this like what happens if it keeps you alive in Apocrypha? Do you basically take on this gross form as you just like are lost in and amongst the stacks and everything like that? So it's like, I don't know. I wonder if it's a mix. I don't know. I wonder if it's a mix of, are they partly like, yeah, it's they're Hermaeus Morris creations, but also can you essentially be indoctrinated into being one of these things if you're lost in the stacks for too long type of deal?
Yeah. Or and I'm not suggesting that the people become these so much. Like, I think at some point the person's mind is gone and they're kind of a husk. So now why not repurpose the husk? Right.
Right. I mean, it gives it a purpose.
Yeah. And this is nowhere near any. There's no evidence in the lore for this, but it was always.
No, it's just like
they give me this feeling of like, well, now that you've been in Apocrypha long enough and you understand the forbidden knowledge, you can never leave. And now you are bound to Hermaeus Mora and you are going to serve
constantly seeking something else.
Right.
So it's just like you devolve more and more into whatever these things are.
Yeah. I always had that sense about them, almost like they are humanoid enough and you cover them up and they've got arms and they've got like these old robes that are tattered, almost like over time, a body might shift in this direction, having been around these eldritch looking creatures and
things.
Yeah,
no, for sure.
Yeah. I don't think there's any proof for this. This is totally out
either,
there.
But it's something. So it's funny because I wasn't even sure I'd bother to bring it up. But it's something I always kind of got the vibe of. I always got that vibe that it was kind of like, are these things like lost because of this or not? Like, okay, are these created by Hermaeus Mora? Or, I don't know. It's like, has he built up minions over time as people try to get into the area or get, you know, bumble into Apocrypha? He also made it a little easier to get into Apocrypha, but it's not exactly an easy place to just get to type of deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are fun. These are creepy. And if you haven't experienced them, definitely.
Yeah. One of the enemies I really like, I always thought they resembled a lot. The Ascended Sleepers, which is a super just Morrowind, like the Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind thing during the Blight Storm and everything like that. I feel like they were kind of like the inspiration for the art style to that. You can look up an Ascended Sleeper if anybody's interested. I don't even know if those were in our beast here because they're not really Daedric. They're just a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we should episodes on some of that stuff. Some of these like Daedra adjacent monsters.
That's Daedra. A good way to put it. Daedra adjacent.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll put that in the old back pocket for some future stuff. But we've got one more to get to.
Yes, this one last one.
Skaafin, Skaafin, which again reminds me of a dumb name for a ska band because it has the word ska in it. I can imagine like a picture of a fish with like fin, like it's a fish. Anyway, that's not what these are, because the Skaafin are a race of Daedra found in the Fields of Regret that serve Clavicus Vile, who we mentioned before. In appearance, they have yellow skin, red eyes, long black horns on their head, with blonde, brown, or bald haircuts. That's a weird way to call a haircut. Usually bald is not a haircut of choice. It's just what happens when you stop having hair.
Run out of hair.
Right. Then you don't need haircuts anymore. But anyway, physiologically, they resemble Altmer and Dunmer, having pointed ears and similar facial structures, though they come in varying sizes between 3 to 6 feet tall. The Skaafin appear to have some form of a caste system. The taller Skaafin have more sophisticated weapons and stronger armor, often serving as leaders. Skaafin smaller in stature are more feral, having a primitive vocabulary and fight using little more than their hands and magic. There are definitely similarities between this humanoid Daedric race and some of the others that we've talked about. When manifesting in Tamriel, Skaafin are known to corporealize rapidly out of chaotic creatia, sprouting from the ground up in orange-colored goo. Skaafin can use a variety of spells, such as projectile flares, and maskers can create masks, M-A-S-Q-U-E-S, spectral clones that explode to attack their target. They are known to communicate using mirrors, showing what is on the other side of a different mirror instead of a reflection, kind of like a portal. As shapeshifters, Clavicus Vile and Barbus are known to take the form of Skaafin outside of their domain to kind of go incognito a little bit.
Sort of how we saw them for the most part originally, and then ESO has done more with it. Also, you briefly saw them in Redguard, I think. It's Redguard because it's a photo of them on the lore page. But yeah, they're again, it's not one that you commonly run into, but essentially if you see what Clavicus Vile looks like in that weird mask, the that yeah. you usually get as your Daedric artifact. It's like a scoffin-shaped thing with little horns and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, right. And like his picture here from ESO, when he's even when he's in like a mortal-looking form, he's really taking the scoffin form. He's got horns yeah. on his head. He's got
like
pointy ears. He's
they,
got this
they seem like same that's skin probably color. His thing, and he just formed these creatures in his image type of deal.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. Like maybe they were designed around him, kind of like Mehrunes Dagon has certain types of Daedra who have multiple arms and they look like little mini
sure,
versions of him.
Sure.
Yeah. I could see that as well.
But yeah, so it gave, and you know, Barbas, again, he usually get as a puppy, but sometimes when he takes a humanoid form, he looks like a scoffin as well. It's
right.
like
a very ugly one. He's got kind of a, yeah, kind of a grumpy, ugly face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should really just be a puppy.
Yeah, just, I mean, you're better in dog form.
Yeah, just be a dog. It's
just
fine.
Be a dog. Dogs are the
way
best.
Better.
Way better. Way better than
yeah,
cats.
Yeah, get pets and cookies. That's fine.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, no cats, just dogs. I'm going to get a lot of letters after that one. People are going to send me emails. Doggo is better, Outlander Frog in chat. Yes, okay. Absolutely. But these are interesting because they've got similar qualities to some of these other humanoid Daedra with the different levels of like authority and not just levels in their society where some of them have like better gear and those kinds of things. The ones that are higher up seem more intelligent. They seem
yeah.
like more of an actual threat.
The only other thing, at least from experiencing fighting them in game, which you will do more than you will work alongside them, but they seem like sort of less impressive, like threat-wise. They seem much less impressive than some of the other specific minions that people like some of the Daedric princes, they all have like their specific ones type of deal. Like not all of them, but a lot of them.
A lot of them.
They'll yeah. have things that are known to be with them. Scoffin seem pretty low on the totem pole of threat for the most part.
Right.
They kind of like you drop them pretty fast in the games. They're not really a super big thing. Even when like the Clavicus Vile gets involved with like sieging something or whatever, Scoffin are just getting wiped out left and right. Even it's just more of like overwhelming you with numbers of them more than they're actually like very useful.
Right.
The big ass ones in Redguard, I guess, are a little more intimidating.
So I was going to ask this. I've got the image on the screen now. Redguard is an old game. It does not have updated graphics by
it
any
sure
means.
Doesn't.
How do you feel about this Redguard guy? Because he looks like a yellow statue with a mohawk horn on the top of his head, little yeah. mandible horns coming out of his like jaw, and then two weird horns coming out of his shoulders.
So it has been a very long...
Oh, and he stole the shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles' pants.
Absolutely. Yes. So it's been a long time since I've played Redguard, like a really long time. And if I can ever get the time to finish Battlespire... not Battlespire, Daggerfall, my like playthrough, I need to tackle Redguard again for everybody's amusement and my own torture, because that's
yeah
one of the worst video games I've actually ever played in my life. Redguard is astoundingly bad, in my opinion.
But Todd Howard, on that recent video he did where he went back all over all the games he worked on, said, this was actually pretty good.
It's got a lot of really cool ideas in it, and it is a chore to play.
You know what it is? I think it's all the voice acting in that one in particular.
Except for the main character, Silas, who is awesome and has like one of the best voices ever.
It's like Clavicus Vile's voice and like
oh my God.
All of these other characters.
We've played that on the show before. It's horrific.
Yeah, and it's not so much that it was bad voice acting so much as the direction the voice actors got.
Oh, yeah,
was
no.
Talk as annoyingly as possible.
Be ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Be ridiculous, and then we're going to record it.
And then also we're going to modify the voice sample like
right
out of control.
Right, and then only run it at like 4 bits.
Yes.
So everything sounds kind of like this. Yeah, it like... Okay, cool.
It's like we're in Redguard now.
Welcome, traveler, to Redguard.
Actually, this is way more soothing than
Redguard. It's like a kazoo. I'm doing like a kazoo thing with my hand.
But like that big impressive one in from Redguard there, the Guardian version of a Scoffin, from that image, you don't fight them, from what I remember, like ever. You only see these two. There's like two of these Guardians while you're in the Fields of Regret. While Clavicus Vile gives you a riddle to solve.
They're just overseeing the delivery of the riddle. That's what it is.
I think if
they're his production managers.
Yeah, you basically have to just give your answer to one or the other. And if you're wrong, I think he just beats you to death. And there's like no
cool.
Just start over. You're
thanks.
Just dead, all right. If I remember correctly. It's been a long time, so I could be misremembering that a little bit. But yeah.
Yeah. Weird.
I don't know. Scoffin are, I think they're pretty integral. I think they're like a really unique enemy to Clavicus Vile. But they're kind of like, for anybody who watches Ninja Turtle, they're like the foot soldiers of like the nature.
Man, we got like all the references. Whatevers. We got all the references today. Yeah, they steal Shredder's pants and
you know what? I didn't even realize I was sticking with the Ninja Turtles theme. Mm-hmm. There you go, perfect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, that's Scoffin. They do show up in history. There's a bunch of there's events that happen with ESO with them.
You encounter them a decent amount in ESO at pretty major Clavicus Vile plot points.
Yeah, but that's pretty much most of it. It's like Redguard and ESO.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, they've really kind of been. Clavicus isn't usually one of the more threatening Daedric princes so much as more of one Daedric prince who just likes to grief people.
Yeah, he does show up in like Skyrim and Oblivion.
Right. And it's just like, it's kind of just trying to make deals and trick people just to kind of mess with them.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of invasion purposes usually with him.
Right. All right. Oh, man. Thinking back, we got to wrap up the show soon, but thinking back to Oblivion and the rumors of like a remake and Skyblivion is getting closer. Oh my God, I totally want to go back. It's been a long time. I really want to go back. And now with that stuff on the horizon, it's so much harder to just go back and play the original version because I'm like,
correct.
I'm like, what? We might have like HD textures and actual lighting.
Really, really, really want an official remaster to go along with the reimagining of Skyblivion so that I can see both.
Oh yeah, I would play through both of them.
Like I want both of those things so badly.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be awesome. So get on it, Rob. What's up, Rob? Why is it not out yet?
Rob's you're in charge of the whole thing.
Because you're in charge. It's your responsibility, Rob the Princess.
Yep. I'm going to talk to Rebelize so we can yell at you.
All right.
Just you, though.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for our this episode about the Daedra. We've got a few more to go still. So he says, I'm trying. Speed it up. Get with the program. All right. Lotus, you got anything else going on you want to share before we head out?
No, we're going to attempt to record another episode of Tales this week. I'm glad people enjoyed the comically long episode that we had right after the reveal thing when we all got back together and everybody's like, wow, now that's that's an episode of Tales because it pushed 3.5 hours.
Oh, God. Yeah. I don't know how you do it. That would be too much
for me. There was a lot to discuss, and I couldn't talk for very long afterwards.
I bet. Oh, my God. So I had an idea, and I was going to mention this at the beginning of the show, but maybe we'll try it out here, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Before we wrap up. The UESP has added a new page called Random Page. They used to have a little button for Random Page. Now they've got little categories. Any page, lore, general, mods, specific games going through all of them, including the mobile games, books, things like that. So I thought it would be fun for us to wrap up every episode of the show with just a random lore page and just see what comes up.
I love this.
Because there's so many. All right.
There's so many. I love this idea. This is such a great closing to the show.
Right. Chat. Which button are we hitting? Any page or lore? The first response is what we're going to do. Any page or lore. The first person to respond. And I'm going to hit the button.
First person in chat who just types something, we'll just go with what they...
First person in chat. Any page or lore. Any page. Right. Hersine in chat says any page.
Any page. Everybody wants any page anyway, so it's...
Here we go. Oh, I cannot read this whole thing because it's too long. But this is what we got. Lore, : King Edward, part 11. This is one of the books.
Oh, it's one of the books.
And it's only in Daggerfall. This book has not been in any of the other games. So this is how it goes. King Edward, part 11. XI 11. Part 11 of the story of the life of a long ago king. The companions stayed the night at a crude but comfortable inn at a tiny village that called itself Ravenspring, located in the foothills of the Hrothgarian Mountains. And it goes on from there. That is our random lore of today's episode.
King Edward, volume 11.
That's not even the last volume. It goes to part part 12. There's 12 parts, and each of these is like, you know how a lot of the lore books are like 3 or 4 pages long in the game?
Yeah, no,
Daggerfall,
and it's like, Daggerfall don't do that.
No. This is like an entire story divided up into 12 parts. So
it is funny. Sometimes you will get that, like A Dance in Fire and stuff like that. It's like, it's a straight up, you could make a TV show out of it.
Right, right. No, this is a whole long story. So that's your random lore for this week, is that there's this
the random lore.
King Edward
Remember
story.
Remember King Edward.
Remember King
Book
Edward.
11.
Here, King Edward, the story and life of Longa King. According to the original Council of Wisdom member Anna Jindra, Aliyar's name is pronounced... Oh, God. There's just so much in this one. This one little story. Yeah, no, that would have to be an entire series of episodes just to get through that one story about King Edward.
I like this. I actually think we need to do this at the end. And if it's super long, we'll just make a reference to it so that it's just like, hey, here's a thing.
Here's a thing. Oh, mate, what if we did...
If it's short enough, we can read the whole thing.
What if we did little mini clips of the end? Like in the end, we just do like a mini clip of the thing. But then we have like the extended full read for patrons.
The full read of the...
Oh my God!
It's like one of those Audible novels,
right? Well, what's so crazy about this is that we happen to get like a book here. Let me back up.
I know. Out of all,
I'm just going to hit any page again.
First time we do this, we get a literal book, and we're in book 11.
Oh my God! Any page is crazy. Okay, Better Cities. What does each file do? This is a look at the UESP is insane. This is a look at a file. From, I don't even know what game this is from. It's got ESPs in it. This must
knowledge.
Be this must be Skyrim or Oblivion, probably, or Morrowind, maybe. Leowyn, Dark Brotherhood Chronicles, Breville. This is Oblivion.
It's Oblivion.
This is how to parse the information in one of the files in Oblivion about locations. Amazing. This is insane. Maybe we'll just stick to clicking the lore one in the future. Oh, we get another book.
I don't know.
All right.
I feel our random UESP page tidbit of the week is a new segment that I'm all for.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll do this again next week. Thank you for being here. And of course, you can check out the rest of my stuff at robotsradio.net and a bunch of other people's stuff as well. We do lots of lore content and podcasts about all sorts of fun things like video games. So go check it out.
Play.
Yeah. Thanks for being here, everybody. Thanks for being here, chat and Lotus. And we'll be back next week. So look forward to that. And
yes,
we'll see you. See you out there. Be safe out there. Don't summon any scamps or they might burn your house down, because that can happen. All right. See you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this. And join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.